Okay. Once again, back to the Mishnah about Kalam. Okay, so the Gemara began discussing what does a mechitza mean in the Mishnah? Is a mechitza aguda? Is it a wall? Or is it that they're going to split the field? And the Gemara assumes initially that they split the field unilaterally. That's not what they mutually agreed to do. What they mutually agreed to do is to build a wall. We have a proof to this from the Braisa about Kalam. A Baal HaGefen is next to a Baal HaTvua. If the wall falls down between them, and they're only able to plant between one another, you know, in adjacent fields because there's a wall between them, separating, preventing Kalayim from occurring. If Kalayim occurs, then the Tvua and the Karim both become us because of Kalaya Karim. So in order to prevent it from occurring, there's a wall. What if the wall falls down? We say to the Baal HaKarim, you build the wall. If you don't build the wall, and then everything becomes prohibited, you're obligated to pay. The question we discussed yesterday was, why do we focus on the Baal HaKarim? Why is he the guy who has to fix it and not the Baal HaTvua? It takes two to tango. In order to have Kalaya Karim, you need Tvua and grapes and wheat. So why do we focus on the guy, you know, who has the grapes? And we had a few explanations within the Rishonim. If you remembered, Taisva said it's because he's the one who has a big plow, you know, and he's going to plow over the Baal HaTvua. The Ramban says because he's more the aggressor because the Gefanim move. They're growing, they're expanding, as opposed to the Tvua that stays pretty stationary and static. So that's why, since he's the aggressor, you know, in terms of he's moving, he might have a plow around his field, so we throw upon him, or impose upon him, the obligation to build the wall. Once he has the obligation to build the wall, in this equation, you know, that we have, or this relationship that we have between these two neighbors who are mutually kind of like limiting each other, once he becomes the aggressor on one aspect, or once he, you know, has one obligation, but only one, fails to do so, he now bears responsibility for all of the consequences that occur as a result. And if it becomes Kilayim, right, he's the one who has to pay, because he became, was labeled the aggressor in this relationship because his gafan, let's say, are moving towards the Tvua, as an opinion of the Ramban, or because he has the machresha, he has the plow, which is plowing on, in order to plow the vineyard, you have to plow over onto the other guy's field too. So once it becomes, you know, he's the aggressor in the relationship, he is obligated for the kilayim as well. But why do we have to warn him? We say, Omer lo gedor, Omer lo gedor. So we know why it's his responsibility. That's what we discussed yesterday. Why is this a responsibility? And why does he have to pay if he fails to do it? But why do we warn him? What's this whole warning business about? So Tosfos over here, David Maschel Omer writes, "Va'omeri de'ahaki katani omer le'gedor v'lo katani chayv le'gedor." He just should have said he's the one who's obligated to build the wall. That's the language we typically would use. Not omer le'gedor, we warn him. Why do we have to warn him? Because if you don't warn him, he's not obligated. And you have to warn him twice. Once is it enough? Maybe he forgot after the first time. He said, "Why you guy? You have to say it again. Maybe he forgot. What, you think I meant this all the time? Hand in assignments? No. One time thing. No, so you have to tell him again. It's a question about the third time. Maybe now he got the message. That's what Tysus isn't sure. After the third time, you still have to warn him. This is an ongoing problem. Or maybe it's enough once you had it two times. But one time is not enough. You have to even warn him twice. Why? Because if you don't warn him, he's not chayev. Taisus, though, doesn't explain to you why. He tells you the what. If you don't warn him, ain't no chayev b'chor yisur. He doesn't tell you why. Why do I have to warn him? Why is he not chayev if I don't? So Rabbi said, look over here, Rabbeinu Yoina. Really says the same as Taisus, but introduces us to a different dimension here in the sugya. Really introduces us to a parallel sugya that discusses this... Raisa. And that's Rabbeinu Yonah over here, Oizbeis. Rabbeinu Yonah says, inchi kach. Most people would not think that they're obligated to build a wall, so you have to, you know, you have to let him know about it. And if you do not warn him about it, he would not be chayev, because here we're talking about dina de garmi. And in order to be chai for dina de garmi, you need a warning. What is garmi? Garmi is a damages that are caused not indirectly, but not completely indirectly. You have involvement somewhat, but you don't really damage the item of your friend, you know, I guess, completely through your involvement. Lamashal, I smash your car with my car. Adam Amazik. Right. My animal. I own a pit bull. And we had this the other a few months ago in Passaic. There was a pit bull running around town. It was ridiculous that these people own these kinds of dogs and whatever. And it was running around town biting kids. It was terrible, terrible. On Shabbos, they had to call the police, the fire department, the whole tumult. Anyway, my pit bull goes out. I'm not a big fan of pets, so I told you that already. My pit bull goes out, and the Reish Verubim, the worst of them all, is the squirrels. We give them a pass, but the squirrels are the worst of the worst. It's just rodents with rats with furry tails. They give a pass because they have a furry tail. The worst of the worst. Anyway, my pit bull goes out and damages your vegetable garden. So I'm obligated to pay. That's my mamon amazik. So there's other mamon amazik directly. My property causes damage. All that you're obligated to pay. That's hezek mamish. What's grumma? Grumma bin Ezekin is pata. What's grumma? Grumma means I caused it to happen, but I didn't really touch your item necessarily at all. What I do, you have a pet in your backyard. It'd be the case we discussed yesterday. You have a pet in your backyard. I don't like the pet. I don't touch the pet. I open the gate. I say, here, Rover, whatever, and the throw a steak, whatever, into the river. Your dog jumps, flies away. Jumps off the cliff. So that is, again, we love pets, but yeah. So that's grumma. I didn't touch your animal. I didn't do anything to your animal. Your animal ran away. I was involved, but indirectly. That's grumma. You're not a good guy. Again, you're not going to win Man of the Year award, but that's grumma ben ezik and his pater. What's garmi? Garmi is I touched your item, but I didn't cause you the loss. That's garmi. What do you have such a case? You have IOUs. In the olden days, no one does business this way anymore. If you do business this way, shame on you. But, there used to be. We had, right up, maybe you even have it today. You have a shtar. You have loan documents. You work in a bank. About all the people owe you money. And I come at night and burn all your loan documents. So you say, well, now it's backed up in the cloud. But okay, it wasn't backed up in the cloud. The olden days. And now you have no way of collecting the debts. No way of collecting the loan. So I didn't cause you a loss, but I caused you the inability to collect on your loans. I caused the loss, but indirectly. But at the same time, I touched your item. That's known as garmi. So I caused you the loss directly and indirectly at the same time. That's a machlekes tanoim. So other mamazik for sure chayiv. Grumma ben ezikin, grumma ben ezikin is potter. What if it's garmi? That's a machlekes tanoim. In the Gemara Bava Kamma over here, kuf amud aleph, going over to kuf amud beis. Rabbi Meir havi don dina de garmi. Rabbi Meir thought dina de garmi is chayiv, and he would, obligate people to pay in these kinds of situations. Other tanoim disagreed with their Meir. That was the opinion of a mayor. They were loid doin dina de garmi. The Ramban has a whole kuntris on garmi. It's a very wishy-washy category, as you can tell. It's a little hard to figure out what fits into this category, what doesn't fit into this category. How do we paskin on this issue? Big machlekes hatanoim. Not for now, and certainly beyond that discussion. However, the Gemara quotes in that context, this brisa, the sanya machitas hakarim shenifritza, I have this wall in between the two properties, and it falls down. We say to the Baal Karim, put up the wall. If you don't, you're going to be obligated to pay. The Gemara assumes that obligation to pay is only Medina de Garmi. That's not Adama Mazik. I didn't cause you the Kiloyim through my actions necessarily. I didn't build a wall. And, my vineyard is inching closer to your Tvua. But that's not really, Adama Mazik. Or even Mamon Amazik. This is a garmi. Dechani machizah kam shenifetz oim lo gedor. Nifetz oim lo gedor. Nisai shem menevo. Gadar reza kidesh v'chayi b'achar yusoy. That, the Gemara assumes, is an instance of garmi. And you see from this brisa, that Rabbi Meir was doin dina de garmi because he obligated the Baal HaKerem to pay in this situation. So this obligation to pay, yeah?
Why isn't this grama?
Why isn't this grumma? Because my property is inching closer to your property. And my property, this is mamon amazik. So it's not your...
You don't actually touch anything.
Right, but my property is going to touch you. See, as opposed to Hasarif Sharas Shachavera, I didn't cause you, I might have burned your documents, but I didn't cause you to lose the loan amount at all.
Okay.
Here, it's my property that's inching closer to your property, and my property is going to cause you a loss. So it's similar to my pit bull coming into your property and causing damage. Adam HaMazik, right, there's two types of nizikin that you're obligated to pay for. The first is Adam HaMazik, if I cause damage myself, or driving a car, right? Or Mamon HaMazik, my property causes you damage. This is my property causing you damage, yeah? But, right, still somewhat indirect, and therefore, the Gemara assumes that it's Garmi. Garmi. Now, this obligation to pay mitam Garmi, that's a Dindar Rais or a Dindar Abonon? Garmi. Adam HaMazik, Deiraisa. Mamon HaMazik, Deiraisa. Psukim, Parshas Mishpatim. Grama ben Ezekin is Pata. What about this Garmi? It's Machlekes Tanoim. According to those who hold, you're obligated to pay. Is this like real Nezekin? Or is this a Dinder Abanan that they imposed lest people get too close to real Nezekin, but this is not real Nezekin Mamish? So Tosis and Baba Kama writes that this whole din of Dina de Garmi is only a din Midder Abanan. It's only a din Midder Abanan. Because the Gemara there quotes a pasuk that exempts one from paying kefel if you steal shtarois of shachavero. The pasuk says if you steal certain items, normally if you steal your item's friend, you have to pay back the keren and kefel too. The Gemara there at the beginning of Perek Meruba, has, which is discussed as Gnev and Gzela, has exemptions to this. If you steal avarim, karkos, there's no kefel in karka. There's no kefel on shtaros. Says Taisis, even if I burn your shtar, all that is garmi. I didn't damage you necessarily. So you know, why do I need a pasuk to exclude paying kefil on shtaros? If I steal your shtar anyway, it's only garmi. And says Taisis, garmi is only the rabbanon. That's Taisis kashan and baba kama. Why didn't a pasuk excluding, you know, stealing your shtar? If I steal all your IOUs, all your contracts, that I don't have to pay back kefil. A few of to be a dam l'mishayim keren l'mando doin dinin garmi. A few l'mando doin l'havim the rabbanon. Why do I need a pasuk? Well, Tosis' answer is not relevant to us right now, but that's Tosis' question and Tosis' assumption that Dina de Garmi is only a din midrabanan. Now, if Dina de Garmi is only a din midrabanan, and our case where I allow my kerem to overflow into your property, the Bala Tvua, I'm obligated to pay is me Dina de Garmi, and Garmi is only midrabanan, now it stands to reason the following thing. The Gemara says, Mesechtas Gittin, when you're dealing with dinim derabanan, do they apply only to a person who's amazed, who did it on purpose, or do they even apply to a person who was unaware of it and did it b'shoigeg? So Gemara there has a rule that most adopt, that lo kansu shoigeg atu mezid. When we're dealing with dinim deraisa, that applies, whether you're shoigeg or amazed, right? If you violate Shabbos or shoigeg chatas, but mezid skila. What if we're dealing with dinim derabanan, kind of penalties and obligations min derabanan? Do they only apply if a person did so b'mezid, or when Chazal imposed penalties, they imposed them even if a person was, by accident, inadvertent, b'shoigeg? And the Gemara assumes loy kansu shoigeg atu mezid. There's actually a dispute there in the Gemara whether kansu shoigeg atu mezid, loy kansu shoigeg atu mezid. We actually assume generally loy kansu shoigeg atu mezid. We're not kines. A shoyga to mezid when we're dealing with a dindar abanan, when we're dealing with a penalty, lo kansu shoyga to mezid. Ah, so now Rabbeinu Yonah opened the door for us to understand what our Tosis is saying. What our Tosis say? Our Tosis said you have to warn him. You have to warn him. He has to build a wall, because if you don't warn him that he has to build a wall, he's not going to be obligated to pay. Tosis didn't say why. If the warm, twice. You might have forgotten after the first warning. I thought we weren't serious. This was an ongoing thing. You got to warm twice. And if you don't warn him, he's not chayiv. Rabbeinu Yonah said, tipped us off. That's because we're dealing with Dina de Garmi. What happens when you're dealing with Dina de Garmi, not Adam HaMazik Mamish or Mamon HaMazik Mamish? This is somewhat indirect. Direct, but indirect. It's my gefanim that are coming close to your tefua. I'm the aggressor here, but it's still somewhat indirect. We'll explain why in a minute, but it's still somewhat indirect. So it's Garmi. Garmi, Tosis' opinion is, throughout Shas, Dina de Garmi is only de Rabbanon. And if you put that together with the fact that we're dealing with Dina de Rabbanon, like Kansu Shoigeg Atumezid, we never penalize the person who's B'Shoigeg to, you know, lest he be mazid, you know, to the situations of mazid, we assumed, we exempted, you know, left the shogeg as it was, midin doy raisa, that he's not obligated to pay, since din garmi is only the rabbanon. When it comes to shogeg and the mazid, in order to be chayiv here, you have to be a mazid. Ah, now we understand why Taisa says you have to warn the guy. If you don't warn the guy and he's not a mazid, he's a shogeg, he doesn't know he's obligated to build him in the first place, he wouldn't be obligated to pay. Because Dina de Gamiz Rabbanan, but comes to show you got to mazid, so you got to warn the guy in order to make sure that he's amazed. He's negligent in building the wall. Now, if you're negligent in building the wall, after we warned you, now you're going to be obligated to pay. So Rabbi, you see over here, we gave a whole shiur clearly in terms of understanding this Taisus. There's so much here that Taisus didn't explain, but that seems to be what's going on, even in Poshup Shat over here in Taisus. That's why you have to warn the guy, because Taisus' opinion is Dina de Gamiz Rabbanan, but comes to show you got to mazid, so then you have to warn him, because otherwise he's going to be a shogeg, he'll be potter from paying. Oh. The Ramban disagrees with Tosis' fundamental assumption that Dina de Garmi is only Din de Rabbanon. The Ramban has a Kuntris de Garmi. I think it's printed in most sets of Chidushei Ramban separately. It's a separate Kuntris. So Ramban in his Kuntris de Garmi, over here I say, quotes those who said the Dina de Garmi is only a Knas Min de Rabbanon, and therefore, Loikansu Shoygegatu Mezid, if you're not, you know, mazid, there's no garmi, so you got to be warned. The ainu nechayna, says the Ramban. That's not true. It's wrong. Obviously, he goes on and on and on about this. I left that part out because it's not relevant for us. The proof's back and forth through Gan Shas. But the Ramban's opinion is throughout Gan Shas, dina de garmi is a din de raisa. That's what he wrote the whole kuntres ha garmi in order to argue with Tosis that garmi is the Ramban. And the Ramban says, no, the whole thing is de raisa. And indeed, One minute, Chevra. If the whole thing is deraisa, why do I need to warn the guy? According to Taisus, we have to warn the guy, Omer Leigador, because if we don't warn him, he's not going to be obligated to pay. Why is he not going to be obligated to pay if we don't warn him? Because the army is only the Rabbanon, and it comes to Shoegeg, go to Mazid. By dealing the Rabbanon, we didn't penalize the Shoegeg. So you got to warn him, make sure he's amazed. According to the Ramban, though, the Dina de Garmi is deraisa. And over here, we're dealing with a situation of Garmiya, Mechitzas HaKerem Shenifritza, my Kerem is coming closer to your property, he's going to ask your property to be Tam Kiloim. Yeah, but then why do I have to warn you? If Garmiya is Toy Rice, there's no different than Ramamaz HaKhever. A guy's driving his car down the road and smashes into someone else, can he say, whoa, you didn't warn me about that? No, you're obligated to pay no matter what. Adamu Aliyolam. Everyone is assumed to be forewarned that you better not cause anyone damage with your property or with your body. You can't cause damage. That's obvious. It's fundamental to human civilized life. You can't cause other people damage. So if Dina de'Ami is Doiraisa and included in, you know, Mamana Mazik and Adama Mazik, you're forewarned. Everyone is forewarned about Nezikin. You don't have to receive special, notification about this in the mail beforehand. So why over here do we have to warn the guy to build a wall? So Ramban here, Chevra, says a different teretz. Says Ramban in his Kiddushim, and this is the Ramban l'shitasoi. The Ramban holds Dina de Garmi is Doiraisa. So now the warning is not to make sure he's not a shoygeg. Even if you're a shoygeg, you're obligated to pay. No, it's a whole different reason. Says Ramban, I'm a legadar, Pershu Rabbi Seinu Atzarfosim. Says there were those that said, Shaim a legadar, you have to tell him, warn him to build a fence. I'm a legadar like Kiddush. If you didn't tell him not to build a fence like Kiddush, Afa pi shuhaya bedaita legadra, even if. A different reason. Why? Because if you didn't tell him to build a fence, it has not become kilayim. Even though he had never intended to build a fence in the first place, the only time it becomes kilayim is if he's aware of the kilayim and happy about it. That's what we're going to see later on in the hemshek over here of this brisa. Right, what did the brisa say? Mechitzas hakerem shenifritza, arme legedar. Chazav nifritza, arme legedar. If it falls down, I tell you, build it again. Nisyayish hayamena. When I give up, you know, that he's going to actually build a wall, or the guy kind of fails to do so, V'lo gadra hareza kiddush v'chayiv. Now, the gefanim mixed with the tvua becomes kaloya kerem, v'chayiv b'chariyus, and he's obligated to pay. When does he become obligated to pay? When he gives up on building the wall. Meaning when I'm happy about it, as we'll see in a minute. Only when he's happy about it, when he concedes to the situation, he realizes what happened, and he's not going to do anything about it, then there's kaloyim. However, kaloyim requires what we call nichus of the balabais. He has to be happy about it. If he's not happy about it, there's no kaloyim. So Rambam says a whole different reason why you have to warn the guy. Why do you have to warn the Baal HaKerem that his Kerem is encroaching on the Baal HaTvua? You know, and otherwise he's not obligated to pay. The reason you have to warn him is because otherwise he's not aware of it. And therefore certainly not happy about it. Or he certainly hasn't, you know, acquiesced to the situation. If he hasn't acquiesced to the situation, so then there's no kelaim in the first place. So there's nothing to pay for. I mean, why is he only obligated to pay if I warn him? Because if I didn't warn him, there's no kelaim. Tais is at a different reason. Of course there's kelaim. Kelaim happens whether, you know, I'm saying, whether he's aware of it or not, you know. But there's going to be kelaim. Why are you only obligated to pay if you're warned? Because otherwise you're a shoygeg and dinin gamiz derabanan lokatu shoygeg demezer. The man says, no. Gamiz deraisa. But there's no kelaim unless you know about it. When you know about it and you're happy about it, okay. Now there's kelaim, now you're obligated to pay. If you never would have found out, they never would have been kelaim.
So the Ramban holds you only have to warn once then?
You have to warn him twice.
Why twice?
Oh, what's the second? Because no, the second time is maybe it'll fall down. I think it would only be a one-time thing.
Well, I mean, once he knows about it.
Yeah, the weakness in the argument of the Ramban. Yeah. There's another weakness in the argument of the Ramban. Why bother telling the guy? Well, it's just, you know, live and let live. Like, let the kelaim and the tefuah mix. No one will know about it. Okay, you know. Some kind of people have those kinds of attitudes. So, right, Rabbi Ochanan over here, huh?
Does it matter if you know about it?
Yes, I think the problem is someone will always find out about this, right? Like, you know, certain halachas, you don't have to tell people if they don't know. But like, he's going to find out, and then everyone's going to look bad. So, like, there's a halacha that, in the Gemara in Kiddushin, Mamzer Vadai Velo Mamzer Safek. In order to be a person who's a Mamzer, not allowed to marry into the Jewish people, it has to be a certain that he's a Mamzer. If there's any doubt at all whether or not he's a Mamzer, he's not prohibited. Very convenient halacha. Many times we don't like talking about it. Mamzerus happens. Affairs occur. So if you have a child from that affair, the child could be a Mamzer. But that's only if you know with absolute certainty that the child's a Mamzer. Maybe the child's father is a Goy. In which case, the child is not a Mamzer. I mean, maybe the woman had an affair with a Goy. Ah, that's not her boyfriend. The guy, the private eye, found her with, you know, another man who's Jewish. Yeah, but maybe she had another affair with someone who isn't Jewish. Just like she had an affair with this guy who is Jewish. Maybe she says, no, this is the only guy. Who says we believe you? You know, lots of sfeikus we can try to arrange in order to help out the Mamzer. This is heavy duty stuff. Heavy duty. This is as heavy duty as it gets in terms of the shaylas. This is similar to an aguna shayla. You have a person over here who can't marry into the Jewish people. It's heavy business. What if I know with absolute certainty? He said, how do you ever know that? I know with absolute certainty this guy's a Mamzer. So the Gemara even mentioned, so far as the Suffolk Mamzer is permitted, even if I know that he's a Mamzer, but he doesn't know, I have no mitzvah to tell him, because as long as he doesn't know, he is a Suffolk whether he's a Mamzer, he's not aware that he has any reason to suspect that he'd be a Mamzer, he's mutter to marry into the Jewish people. When does it become prohibited? When he finds out, or she finds out, that they're a Mamzer. So much so, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes in a tshuva, that if Masada Kiddusha knows this Chassan and Kala, one of them is a Mamzer, but they don't know. He could be Masada Kiddushin for them at their wedding, even though it's be Easter, because they don't know. If they don't know, there's no Easter. That's what the halacha of Mamzer Vadik, well, Mamzer Safik is teaching us. It's beyond the normal Sfeikas. This is a halacha, any ninud, any tzad Safik at all, the whole situation becomes permitted, even if the Safik is only, you know, in their minds, that they're unaware of the issue. It's mutter meikar din, yeah. So that's the problem with genealogy. Genealogy is great. It's a good hobby. And a lot of people get a lot of hanoah from it. It's terrible in terms of mamzerus. All it does is create problems. I would tell people, leave the rock turn, you know, leave the rocks and the skeletons where they are.
Are they mamzerim if they turn over the rock?
And you find out, you know, conclusively that Mamzerim. Now, again, I don't know how you'd ever know conclusively. How would you ever know conclusively? But there are situations you could know conclusively.
And then at that point, everyone in the tree becomes...
Yeah, big problems. Wow. Leave the rocks where they are, yeah. And the skeletons. I mean, otherwise you're dealing with shayos that go to all the gedolim. What do we do with Mamzerim? Says, ooh, that's the shulchan alochim. That's what you need big poskim for, these things. Not for buttons that fall off on Shabbos. That, you know, too, but. But this is as heavy duty as it gets. A kitzer, that's what Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes. Now, I don't recommend to do that, right? Because the Masada Kiddushin thinks I'm so smart. They don't know, but I know. Things always have a way of getting out, right? At the worst convenient time, right? So all these kinds of halachas where, well, if he doesn't know about it, he doesn't, you know, it's not going to hurt him. Yeah, it's not a smart idea. So to over here, maybe this is just not wise, meaning we could just cover over the Kalayim forever. But then some, you know, religious Jew is going to be walking around someone else's property and point it out when it's already too late. And now what are you going to do about it? The whole thing became Kalayah Karim. So I don't know if sweeping underneath the rug is really the most, even though that is the traditional Jewish approach. I don't know if that's really so smart. But that's where B'chanan Wasserman asks over here. You know, I need Hasrad Yilav Hachilo Yeyoser. I don't know if the guy's happy about it. He doesn't even know about it. And in order to be kaloyim, you have to be happy about it. The fact that it just happens is not enough. Kasha, Dim Kain, Ma'alan Lasrei said, why am I warning him? Lo Yisru, Lo Yisru. I won't warn him, it won't become Osir. The cave in the Mikri, Lo Nikolai, Lo Chayra, Deim Bozeh, Gamishu, Misim, Mekayim. There's no Osir here at all. So even if some religious Jew starts poking around in my property and finds it, I'll remove it then. So. Anyway, that's the argument of Rabbi Chanan. So the Ramban is, you know, weak in a few things within the sugya, but that's the opinion of the Ramban. The Ramban holds Garmi is deraisa, and even therefore b'shoygeg you'd be obligated to pay. The only reason why you have to warn him is because otherwise not kilayim in the first place. It only becomes kilayim when the Baalim are aware of it and they're happy about it. And if he's unaware of it, then there's no kalayim to speak of. So you have to warn him, let him know there's a potential for kalayim here. If he fails to put up the wall, now he's obligated to pay. Not because of the warning necessarily, that only contributed to the fact that it made it into kalayim. Without that, it wouldn't be kalayim. That's the approach of the Ramban. So according to the Ramban, Garmi is deiraisa. Rav Shechter loves pointing this out. Rav Shechter has a few go-to questions if you ever learn in Rav Shechter's Ko or anything. He always asks the same, he has these things he loves. So, Nebuch, it used to be, I don't know who gives the b'chinas in the Kol anymore. It used to be Rav Shechter gave the b'chinas and Rav Shechter graded the b'chinas. When I was in his shir, I graded the shir b'chinas. It was before shir assistants and all that. So I graded his, just it was too busy. So I graded the shir b'chinas. I think before me, someone else. David Palmer used to do it, if you know who that is. But anyway, someone else graded the shir b'chinas. Then I took it over. I graded the shir b'chinas. But the Kol, he used to grade himself. And then, later on, he got other people in the Kol who help him grade the Bechinas, Rabbi Safati, Rabbi Hirsch, whatever, whoever grades it now. But in my time, Rabbi Shechter graded himself. He's always still, though, writes the Bechinas. But you have to know how he thinks in order to know the kinds of questions he asks. The Bechinas are on 10 blot. They learn 40 blot a year in the Kol. Every 10 blot, they have a test. So, but it's Gemara Rashi Tosis. The problem is, it's a Shechter's view of the Gemara Rashi Tosis. So he'll ask kashas that are based on his, what he thinks is important. In the Gemara Rashi Tosis, I remember I was once sitting with him in another base medrash, and a guy who would never learn by Rabbi Shechter before, but was a shtaka guy, was a real learning guy. So he got to the Bechina, and he looked at Rabbi Shechter's test, which is always 10 out of 13 in alphabetical order in Rashi script, which is always a shtiklach, you know. And he comes over to Rabbi Shechter, he's like, where is this question in the Gemara Rashi Tosis in this 10 block? He doesn't see it anywhere. He was like on the verge of tears. Shechter was like, no, it's there. So the guy's like, he knows the Rashi Tosis by heart, it's not here. So Shechter's like, well, I guess that's why there's 13 questions, you only have to answer 10, so he won't answer that one. The answer is, he didn't see it there because, you know, Shechter has these things that he focuses on. If you don't think like him, you don't see the same things that he sees. So he always mentions, this machlek is between Tosis and the Ramban, is Garmi Doiraisa. The Ramban has three nafkaminas. Yeah, if you don't know the three nafkaminas, you don't know the machlekas at all. The Garmi is deraisa. The Rabban has three nafkaminas. One nafkamina is, what about shoygeg? Are you chai for Garmi by shoygeg? Tosis holds no. Lekantu shoygeg unto mezid. That's why over here you have to give him asura in order to make him into a mezid. The Ramban holds, Garmi is deraisa. You chai even if you're a shoygeg. Another nafkamina, there's three nafkaminas, whether Garmi is deraisa, the Rabban. The second nafkamina is, let's say, my animal is mazik with Garmi. My animal is mazik. So if Garmi is a din, that's like mazik mamish. So then even if my animal burns your shtaris by accident, you know, I'd still be obligated to pay. If Garmi is a knas, right? A penalty midrabanan, you're not going to penalize, an orangutan. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Even if he burns shtaros of shalchavero, would it make sense? Or my dog ate your contracts. Doesn't make sense necessarily to penalize a dog if it's mazik mamish, even if it's a behema. And the third nafkamina is, what if a person was mazik with garmi and then he dies? So if garmi is a penalty, he's no longer here to penalize him. Why should I penalize his estate? They weren't involved in this activity. If it's mazik mamish, then we should even penalize his estate. He was mazik something and he died, but all liens continue, with his estate. So that's actually machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. Siman Shin Pei Ches, Siv Beis over here. Another case of garmi is I inform on you to an illegitimate government, and they come and seize your properties. Hamoiser mama biyad anas, or I let the thieves into your house. Bein anas avi kachamim bein anas Yisrael chay v'shalim. You have to pay. That's dina de garmi. V'meis, and if the guy dies, goyim miyarshim kishar kol mazikim. I let them into your house. You're obligated to pay like every other mazik. That's only after it's been formalized as an obligation to lien on the estate. But if it hasn't been adjudicated yet, no, they're not obligated to pay. Because this is not mazik mamish, which of course travels with the person's estate after he passes away. This is garmi. I didn't steal your money. I didn't throw your money away. I showed the ganavim how to get into your house. So I opened it, I let them in. So that's garmi, maybe. It's garmi bin Ezekin even. But certain situations could be garmi. I give over your documents to the ransomware people, and they steal everything from you. But I didn't steal it myself. That's garmi. And there's a big machlekes over here, 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch, in the machlekes in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, whether or not I'm obligated to pay, right? The person's obligated to pay. If he passes away, does the obligation travel with his estate? So the Achrayim explain on Shulchan Aruch there. It has to do with whether Garmi is Deiraisa Derabanan. If Garmi is Deiraisa, it travels with a person's estate. If Garmi is Derabanan, then it doesn't. It only makes sense to penalize him, not his estate. Okay, three Nafkaminas, whether Garmi is Deiraisa Derabanan. And it plays out over here between the Ramban and Tosfos. Why are we warning the guy to build a wall? Is it because Garmi, there's no Garmi if it's Shegeg? And therefore we have to turn him into a mazid in order to be obligated to pay? Or is it no? It's only in order to make sure that it's kilayim, because otherwise it wouldn't be kilayim. Kilayim is only if there's, the Bible are happy about it. The Ramban, though, asks another question. The Ramban asks, why is this garmi? Right? Why aren't I an adam amazik mamish? If my gefanim, or a mamon amazik, my grapes are encroaching upon your tevua next door, that's why I'm the aggressor here. And that's the way the Ramban learned, right? My grapes are on the move. That's what travels. Tevua stays planted where it's planted, right? And you plant it, that's where it grows. I don't think carrots expand onto the next property. But vineyards do. That keeps growing and growing and growing, like a vine. So I'm encroaching on you. I'm the aggressor here. And I'm going to turn your tevua into kaloya karen. So why isn't this mamon amazik mamish? Why is this garmi in the first place? We have to have this whole dispute. Is garmi de rice de rabbanon? Whole story. You should be a mamon amazik mamish. So that's another question the Ramban asked over here in the kuntres de garmi. Over here, ois tes. Su iko amedav, hegi shaminim mehai masnisa de da'inam dina de garmi. How do you see from here that we're doing dina de garmi? Hamim moino hu da azik. My gafanim are encroaching on your property. So gafanim shaloi heim shahochim umisavim umtevuazo shalchaber vayisimaisa. They're going and encroaching upon your tua. Umeach shal of ligdor amay lo lochayv kuleyama. Even according to those who are loydoin dina de garmi, right? I'm not obligated if the damage happened at all tangentially. Here, this is not tangential. This was it's not indirect at all. And this is direct hezek. Amay lo lochayv kuleyama. Even according to those tanoim who are loydoin dina de garmi, how could this be subject to that machlokes tanoim? So Ramban here brings two answers. Umefarkila Rabbanan lahach kushya. So there were those who answered the question. Devoi mitzar machmas irbov luchudei. Elam nation shinishyais miligda. Right? You're not obligated. It doesn't become kilayim simply because the kfanim mingled with the tevua. It's only when the person is happy about it. When he's nisyaish, he gives up from building a wall. Look over here, Tosis, at the top of Beis Mabeis. Tosis says, Dafkin is Yaish. The only time it becomes Kilayim is if I give up from building a wall. Avalon is Yaish. I haven't given up. Va'oisei kol shol ligdor. I'm constantly involved in building a wall. Avopisha Hasif. Even if they do grow together. Mosai means 1/200. They grow, you know, it increases together, 1/200. Mutter, it still remains mutter. Kiddisnan, it's a Mishnah in Kilayim. B'mesechlis Kilayim, haroya yerek bekerim. A person sees tevua growing in his vineyard. And he says, v'ayim kisha agia l'sham alatenu. When I get up to that, I'm harvesting the grapes. When I get up to that tevua, I'll rip it out. Hoysif mosai mutter, even if the two grow together, mingled, it's permitted. Because I intend to remove it. It only becomes prohibited if I ignore it. If I say, you know what, I'll get to it sometime, but I have no plan necessarily in getting there, that means I'm okay with it. Procrastination is not a plan when I get there. Yeah, when I have time, I'll come back and rip it out. That's no good. The mission already knew procrastination is not a plan. I'll get to it sometime. When? Who knows? That's not good. But if I'm going on a row, you know, okay, when I get there, I'll rip it out. But I'm not happy about it at all now. I'm not even willing to be tolerant of it. If you're willing to tolerate it for a certain period of time, that's called being happy with it. But no, I'm not going to tolerate it at all. I'm going to rip it out the minute I get there. Just give me time to get there. I'm harvesting the grapes in a row. It never becomes us. It only becomes us if I give up on it and I'm happy about it. So says the Ramban, 1 minute. You know why Kiloyim is Garmi? Not because my gefanim are indirect. My gefanim are marching towards your tfua on a mission to destroy your grain through the Easter of Kalayim. But it only becomes Kalayim if I'm happy about it. My, you know, tolerance of the Kalayim or my approval of the Kalayim, that makes the Easter of Kalayim indirect. Because my approval of it is not a direct result of the gefanim intermingling with the tfua. That already requires, you know, other involvement. You know, that's outside of the Gefanim. The Lahakushya, they answer this question. Look over here in the third line of the Ramban Lahakushya. They go, Mitzar Machmas Irbav Lechudei. It doesn't become awesome because of the mixture itself. Because I've given up. I'm putting up the wall. What causes the Yisr? My giving up on building the wall. That's what makes me Chayev. The Gabilom in Masnisa, it's a Beferish mission in Kolayim, as we just saw. Haroya Yerik Bekerem. If I see Tvua growing in my vineyard, if I see, I'll get up, when I get up to it, I'll remove it. You know, then it's Mutter. So, Kach Tirates Harab Tzarfasi Bal HaTosfos. That's what Tosfos says. Ramban seems to, you know, cite it approvingly. That, why is it considered to be Garmi? Why is it tangential? Why is it indirect? Because the Kolayim doesn't occur the minute that the gefanim mix with the tefua only when I am nisya'ish. That makes it indirect. Now the mice is not a direct action. I smash my car into yours. I'm obligated to pay. This requires other involvement. And that yeush, my approval, makes it, you know, indirect. That's the Ramban words. Then he quotes a different approach. V'ika de salik adaite v'teirutze. There are those who said a different approach. The shiny hakasha ain't kan nezek elamachmas groma. The whole Easter of Kilayim itself is groma, inherently. Sha'af hakafanim shalo inamazikim esatua. The grapes don't weaken the wheat physically. Eloshen garmin le iser sheyavoy. They cause an iser to descend on them. That is inherently indirect. That's inherently tangential. Because the tefua is not mazik. The karam is not mazik, the tefua, like a car smashing into a car. But it triggers an Easter in the Torah. But that Easter in the Torah is not direct from my actions. That automatically, inherently, is viewed as indirect. So why is it garmi and not mazik mamish? My gefanim are marching towards your tefua. Is either because there's another step that's missing. That's my yeyush. Or it's because inherently the Easter of Kalayim is indirect. Because even when the carrot mixes with the tefua, the Torah imposes the Easter. That's not something that happens automatically with my actions or included in my actions. That's the Torah's involvement. That's inherently indirect. What are they arguing about these two opinions? What's in the Kudus HaMachlekes over here? So Reb Baruch Ber has a piece in the Birkei Shmuel. Reb Shmuel has the same thing. Reb Shmuel Rozovsky and the Chiddush of Reb Shmuel. Now perhaps we show him here are arguing about what is the nature of the Iser of Kelayim. Is the nature of the Iser of Kelayim when the two items mix, you know, that inherently becomes Kelayim? Or is the Iser of Kelayim when the two grow together? Now obviously they have to grow together in order to become Kelayim. But is that when the, you know, what triggers the Iser? Or is the Iser triggered really? The Iser is focused on the mixture. The growing is kind of like a detail. It's kind of like a side requirement that how together do they have to be that they grew together. But the growing together is not the Iser, it's the mixture itself. That's the Iser. It's the Irbuv, that's the Iser. Not the growing together. Or should we say, no, the Iser is the growing together, not the Irbuv. What will be the difference? The difference will be, when does the Iser occur? Does the Iser occur immediately upon when they mix? In which case, you could call that Mazik Mamish. And that's why the first opinion of the Ramban says, you know what, the whole thing is only Garmi, only because it requires my Yeush. Yeush is not something that comes directly from the grapes, and that's why it's Garmi, because of the factor of the Yeush. Or should we say, no, the Iser of Kelayim is not the minute that they mix. The Iser of Kelayim is not on the Irbuv, it's on the fact that they grew together. Of course, they have to grow together in order to become Aser, but the growing together is the focus of the Iser, not the mixture. In which case, it doesn't happen right away. It happens after they grow together for a certain period of time. That makes it inherently indirect. That's when the Torah imposes the Iser, but it doesn't come immediately when my grapes reach your Tevua. Have you understand? So that's why it's Garmi. So we have two reasons to say why it's Garmi. The two reasons why to say it's Garmi might reflect two different perspectives on Kelayim. The Ramban, who initially said, it's Garmi because I have to be Miyayish, held that the minute the Kerem reaches the Tevua, it's Kelayim. Why then is it Garmi? It should have been Mazik Mamish. No, it's because I have to have Yeush. So that's a missing piece. And Yeush is by definition an indirect. So it's because of my Yeush, that's what makes it into Garmi as opposed to Mazik Mamish. But according to the second opinion in the Ramban, no, it's not because of that. It's because Kelayim is always indirect. Why is Kelayim always indirect? The minute the Kerem reaches the Tevua, it becomes Kelayim. The answer is because the real Iser is not triggered by the mixture, it's triggered by them growing together. Oh, that only happens later. So look over here in Reb Shmuel, let's read it together. Oisiyot, Vanir Bezeh, Dinei Yayish Lachkor, Mau Yisrei De Yisrei B'Kalayim, Yisrei De Yisrei Machmas Etzem HaTaruvis, is the Yisrei Kalayim focused fundamentally on the mixture? Vezehu Gufa Siba Se Yisrei, that's the real Yisrei. El Dabeinah Shiyah Zeb Mechuba B'Shosh Shekdeum B'Karka, it has to be that they grow together, but the real Yisrei is the mixture. El Dilma Dein Siba Se Yisrei Machmas Etzem HaTaruvis, the mixture is not what triggers the real Yisrei, the Gidu B'Taruvis. It's only when they grow together. That's what they're arguing about. What triggers the Iser of Kelayim fundamentally? So maybe that's what they're arguing about. Is Kelayim the mixture? Or are they growing together? However, I believe that we could explain this machlokes differently. Not necessarily focus on what is the fundamental difference between the fundamental nature of the Iser of Kelayim, but what is the role of the Yiyush in the Kelayim. I mean, what is the role of the Nechusa in the Baal HaBayis? We're going to have to require a little bit more involvement, though. But, Chevra, see the rest of the Marmar Karmis over here? This comes up L'maisa. You'll say, why? We're not growing Kelayim. The same issue, though, comes up in HaChazara on Shabbos. You might be familiar with five conditions of Chazara. Unfortunately, the boys don't know Halacha here. The girls are wearing halacha and there's various schoolings. They know the five conditions of Achazara. If you don't know what the five, you don't even know what I'm talking about when I say the five conditions of Achazara, Google it, figure it out what I'm talking about. So in that whole discussion about the five conditions of Achazara, so this same discussion that we're about to have comes up in that context too, and it plays out, Lamaisa. More in Eretz Yisrael than here, but it happens. It happens all the time. Okay, Chava, so we'll have to go back. Okay, at least they're on this case with the air conditioning. It's good we didn't tackle the guy and think he was a terrorist.
I just think we
never would have gotten air conditioning.
We have to do a